We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
The Apostle Paul declared in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The entire history of Christianity has been a standing commentary on the truthfulness of this affirmation. What shall a child of God do when his faith is under fire? The Godhead knew that man would need to know the answer to such questions and inspired the Apostle Peter to write an entire epistle to encourage God's people at testing time when faith is under fire. I have tried to emphasize that when faith is under fire, we need to remember the example of Jesus. We need to remember what He did by way of suffering in our place. We need to remember what He did when He faced the temptation of the devil by relying upon the Word of God, saying, "It is written." When faith is under fire, we have special need for godly womanhood and motherhood. Peter discussed this important matter, saying, "In like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives, beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the braiding of the hair, and the wearing of jewels of gold, or the putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. The 20th century will soon be gone, and its history will have been written. Much of this century has been blotted and scarred by crimes of all degrees and colors. Womanhood has played an important part in this sordid and despicable drama of human life. But you can be sure that godly women have had no part in this regretful display of human conduct. On the contrary, godly women have contributed to the betterment of society, the building of respectable homes and security of the nation, along with honor and respect for God and God's church. Godly women do not commit crimes. They seek to rear sons and daughters who will be law-abiding citizens, God-fearing citizens. They seek to encourage their husbands to do the right thing. Our exceedingly evil world desperately needs daughters who will be godly as they grow to maturity. We need young women who have an understanding of true moral and spiritual values, who can say no at the proper time and yes at the proper time. We need godly young women who enter into marriage with a determined purpose of building a home that will honor both God and man. We need godly mothers, like Lois was to Eunice and like Eunice was to Timothy. We need godly grandmothers, like Lois was to youthful Timothy, which you read about in 2 Timothy 1:5 and 3rd chapter verses 14 and 15. One generation of godly women could do much to turn this old world of evil into a better place to live, a world of love and trust and respectability and honor. My friends, are you listening? I tell you that if this world today ever becomes better, a better place in which to live, much credit will go to the presence of God-fearing women. When faith is under fire, we need godly husbands and fathers. Women cannot do it alone. They cannot make marriage work by themselves. They cannot make parenthood what it should be all by themselves. The Apostle Peter wrote about this matter in 1 Peter 3:7, saying, "Ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered." We need godly sons and daughters who will grow to maturity respecting God and their fellow men. We need godly young men who will be upright and respectful of honor and dignity, who respect the true meaning of womanhood and practice the true principles of morality and Christianity. We need more young men with pure minds and godly hearts, with decent language and honorable conduct. We need young men who will bring masculine purity to the marriage altar, men who will make godly husbands for their wives. We need men who will be godly as fathers, as Abraham was to Isaac and Zacharias was to John. We need men today who will walk with God before the members of their family, as Enoch and Noah did in the ancient past. We need men who will be godly on the job and upright during their leisure hours. Ladies and gentlemen, when faith is under fire, we have greater need than ever for rich possession of godly men. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, characterized the man who honors God in womanhood as the man who honors and respects woman, especially that woman who is his wife. A recognition of these God-stated principles will eliminate wife beatings by irate husbands, which is a growing crime in our land today, and build homes that will not be wrecked upon the shifting sands of divorcement, one of the greatest calamities of this 20th century. The inspired man of God, the Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, pictured man and woman, ideally, as husband and wife living together in love, harmony, and faithfulness to God. And in so doing, their prayers would never be short-circuited. When faith is under fire, we need Christian kindness, courtesy, and selflessness considerations to be given to others and ourselves. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:8 and 9, "Finally, be ye like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise, listening, for hereunto were ye called, that ye should inherit a blessing." These are the basic needs for the betterment of humanity and for the better Christian relationship between God's people. Oh, how badly such attitudes and conduct are needed today. If it were so, what a different world in which we live it would be. Yes, how different it would be even in the church. When faith is under fire, let us not forget how we should act and react to our fellow man. Christianity calls for us to be right with God, to be right with our fellow man, inasmuch as humanly possible, and to be right with self. When faith is under fire, we need to realize what constitutes the real purpose of living or human existence. Peter gives the formula for seeing of good days and the enjoyment of a right approach to life, when he said, "For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil." That's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. The trying of faith should not keep the Christian from loving life and seeking good days. Regardless what others may do or say about us, we can still guard our minds and hearts, and even, yes, guard our speech. We can still guard our activities. We can still make sure that we turn away from the evil and pursue good. We can still seek peace and pursue it. We can remain constantly aware of the Lord's work, and His eyes are upon us, looking for His approval as we pursue the life of sobriety, righteousness, and godliness, and, yes, to enjoy life itself. When faith is under fire, we need greater appreciation than ever for the gospel plan of salvation. Peter spoke of our salvation in the closing verses of 1 Peter chapter 3. This is what he said, and I say, are you listening? "Because Christ also suffered for sin once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, that aforetime were disobedient, when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, which also, after a true likeness, doth now save us, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is on the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and power being made subject unto him. 1 Peter 3:18-22. When the redeemed person finds his faith under fire, he should realize that, first of all, his faith would not be under fire if he were not a Christian, if he had never obeyed the gospel of Christ, embracing the faith of the gospel. If a person were still of the world and still a non-Christian, hardly would there be any persecutions of the world. The devil would have no reason to persecute one who is already promoting his cause. The greater the Christian's faith, perhaps the greater will be the fires of trial, and greater will be the test of his faith. When faith is under fire, let us remember with great appreciation God's plan of salvation. That is the plan that saved us from our sins and keeps us saved. By our obedience to the plan of salvation, we can know our sins are forgiven. By our continual faithfulness to the gospel and to the Lord, we can know that we are still among the redeemed with the hope of eternity with God. The brighter glows the faith is the brighter way of life, the plan of salvation, giving one a deeper determination to resist the fiery persecutions that come to assail and undermine one's faith. My friends, I would not want to leave you without telling you exactly what the gospel plan of salvation demands of you in becoming a Christian. The Bible teaches that you must hear the word of the Lord. God the Father said of the Son on the Mount of Transfiguration these wonderful words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Within Christianity, Jesus Christ is our prophet, our priest, and our king. As our prophet, he is God's spokesman in this dispensation. As our king, we are to submit to his will, to his authority. In no other way can we be his loyal and faithful subjects in this heavenly kingdom. The Bible teaches that we must believe in the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter made this confession, as recorded in Matthew 16:16, saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." John affirms in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, that to be a believer in Christ, one is granted the power or the right to become a child of God. This clearly means that one is not saved at the point of faith only, which the religious world generally accepts as true today. In the Great Commission, you will recall that Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Belief only is not sufficient. Salvation is promised to the baptized believer, not to the unbaptized believer. The Bible commands that we must repent. In Luke 13:3-5, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall in all like manner perish." In the giving of the Great Commission recorded in Luke 24:47, Jesus joined together both repentance and remission of sins. There can be no remission of sins separate and apart from repentance. Furthermore, it must be remembered that Peter said to the convicted believers on the day of Pentecost, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins." Paul told his audience on Mars Hill, recorded in Acts 17:30-31, that God commends all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he would judge the world in respect of righteousness. Yes, it is important to confess the Christ as the Son of the living God. And baptism is an essential part of the gospel plan of salvation. As you will read in Acts chapter 8 about the man of Ethiopia. Just how important is it? Baptism was a part of the gospel which the eunuch heard when Philip preached unto him Jesus. And my friends, hear me, listen. Are you listening? No man can preach Jesus today without preaching the gospel of Jesus. And Jesus declared, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. This will make you a Christian. Then be a faithful Christian, faithful to the Lord all the days of your life, and heaven will be your home. This is God's plan of salvation. Your faith must be predicated upon God's divine